The title of my lesson is The Little Maid, found in 2 Kings in the 5th chapter, dealing with the 2nd and the 3rd verses primarily concerning her. I put a verse here on the cover page in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 7, and it's a verse of scripture that we're all familiar with. The Lord laid it upon me to do this, but I had in the back of my mind this verse of scripture has little to do with this maid. In Jeremiah 1 and 7 it says, "But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee thou shalt speak." Now we know that this is in reference to the prophet Jeremiah and his call as a prophet. The verse preceding that, he made a proclamation to God that he was just a child, that he was not able to go and do the things that God wanted him to do. And this 7th verse of the 1st chapter is a verse where the Lord is encouraging Jeremiah in the abilities that God would give him and how that God would help him in doing the things that he was sending him to do. And as I thought about that, the verse really began to apply to this little maid. She was not a prophet. She was not a major figure in the Bible, but she was in a situation where no doubt the Lord encouraged her in the things that she said. When we think about this 5th chapter of the book of 2 Kings, every one of us have heard those verses read. Revivals, we preach about Naaman. It's a wonderful, wonderful lesson, and I've heard it preached many times to the lost. And there's so many things that can be drawn out of it. And myself, I've been led of the Lord on occasion to use those verses of Scripture. But I, like probably most of you that have ever preached these verses of Scripture or even studied these verses of Scripture, you've read right over the little maid and you kept right on going to the main point. That's where I was at when I began studying for this lesson. There's not a whole lot of information about this little maid. We find that she is lodged in this story in such a way that she's mentioned. Very little is given about her, but she played a very important role in what took place with Naaman. I wish tonight, as I was looking out over the crowd as we were singing the songs, I was thinking about the purpose of this lesson, and I wish that there were more young people here for this lesson, because undoubtedly this was a young girl and she was put in a position to do something for the Lord in a great deal of adversity, and she followed through with the things that God wanted her to do. And I think that this lesson would be very applicable to our young people, and I thank the Lord that these things are being recorded, and I hope and pray that they might be used in that manner. But she is one of many people that go unrecognized in the Scriptures, but are pivotal to some event that we all can relate to or that we all recall. Now, I'm not going to, I've listed here my lesson being 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, and I listed verses 14 and 15 as part of the lesson as well, which is the result, the things that took place with Naaman, the end result of the story. I won't read that, but we're going to pick up some of these verses as we go along. I'm going to first look at this little girl as I looked at her when I first read the lesson, and I thought, there's not much about this little girl here. And when we read the verses of Scripture, it reads in the 2nd verse, "The Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife." Now, that doesn't tell us a whole lot about this little girl. But we find that amongst the narrative of this story, we can begin to pull some things out about her. We don't have a name. We don't have an age or a description for the little maid. The mention is brief. But as I said, her actions are very pivotal in what takes place in Naaman's life. The proclamation of the little maid found in verse 3 exhibit a profound faith in God, this being ascertained by her approximate age, gender, dwelling place, social position, political, religious environment, and the circumstances in which she found herself. The only word given within the text that is relative to the age of the girl is maid, and when we look to Strong's Concordance for a definition of that, we find that it's a girl from infancy to adolescence, damsel, maid, or a young woman. We see that even though we cannot get an exact age of this girl, I believe based upon the word used in the situation that she found herself in, she was probably a young girl, maybe in her teens or in her younger years, to say the least. She was brought into Syria on one of the many raids that the Syrians made into northern Israel at that time. They would form up little bands of the army. They wouldn't go in as a large number to face the armies of Israel, but they would sort of do as what we think about terrorists do today. They would send in small groups, and they would raid here, and then they would leave. And they would take whatever they could get a hold of, whether it be money or gold or possessions or even people. Now, this little girl was carried away captive in one of these raids by the Syrian army, and she was brought into the house of Naaman. Now, we all know the beginning few verses of this chapter in discussion of Naaman and how that he was an honorable man and had a high position, was thought highly of by the king, no doubt, and also of the people. And this little maid was brought to him to be a servant to his wife. Now, that is very little given to us to maybe ascertain what she was. She could have simply been a girl that was treated like a maid in housework or just took care of his wife or brought food to her, or she could have been brutally treated as a slave. We don't know those exact circumstances, but nonetheless, we need tonight to get into the mindset of a young girl that is carried away from her family, away from her friends, away from her home, away from everything that she knows, and she is brought into a place that is unfamiliar to her. She's brought to a people that no doubt look down upon her people, and she is forced to do things that she may not want to do. And if we're going to look at this little girl and we want to discuss the faith of this little girl, we have to understand the point of view that she is coming from. Because you see, it's like anything else in our services for God. When things are going easy is not when our faith is tested. Our faith is tested when things are not going so well for us. Our faith is tested when we're put into situations that we're not comfortable in. And God puts us in these positions for that purpose. The Bible tells us that the trying of our faith is more precious than that of gold. And I believe that this little girl is a child of God. I believe that she was saved by the grace of God. I believe she knew God. And I believe she knew God's purpose for her. And she may not have understood that when she first got there. She was probably like you and I are whenever we're put into these difficult spots from time to time. I'm sure that the little girl would have asked the question, why am I here? What have I done to deserve being in the spot that I'm in today? How many times have you and I done that? How many times have we looked around us and said, Lord, why am I here? Why am I facing the things that I'm facing? Well, we all understand that God has His own time. And if at all, it's very rarely that it's in accordance with our time. And so it seems like, as it is with us, it took place with this little girl, that she at some point realized that God had a purpose for her and a reason for her being there. We find here that it says, by blood, the little maid was a Hebrew, held captive in a political and religious environment which the Hebrew people were detested by the Syrian people, and undoubtedly by the family of Naaman, as evidenced by the 11th and 12th verses. Now, the 11th and 12th verses of the 5th chapter of 2 Kings deal with Naaman going to the prophet.
And we all know the story how that the prophet had told Naaman the things that he would need to do in order to be cleansed. And Naaman looked down upon those things. To a large degree, Naaman was not 100% sure about doing what the little girl had requested him do anyways. In the 11th verse, it says, Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. We can see from this 12th verse that this man, Naaman, I don't know what kind of man he was in terms of his personality, whether he was a good man or not. He didn't know God. He was a mighty warrior, and he was highly honored by the people. But one thing we can determine, he, like many of these Syrian people, he detested the nation of Israel and the Hebrew people. Which, that is probably not news to anyone that studied the Bible, because we find that just about every nation that was surrounded Israel or had anything to do with them detested them in some manner. They looked down upon them. And I believe that this man, Naaman, was no different than the rest. I believe that he looked down upon these people. He had this little Hebrew girl that was brought into his home as a slave to wait on his wife. And so when we get this picture of this little girl and we look at the situation that she found herself in, how was she treated? How was she thought of? Did she have any respect of the people of the household that she was in? I would have to say absolutely not. For first, she was young. She was a woman or a young girl at that. She was a Hebrew by blood. And she was a maid. There was nothing about her that would be exemplary of someone who could convince someone about God or anything else for that matter. The particular circumstance into which she was thrust is thus: her highly regarded master, amidst the honor, fame, and power that he had obtained by successful warfare, faced an enemy that he, nor his king or his gods, could overcome. Naaman was a leper. Now, let's look at this from the point of view of Naaman. Naaman had all of this fame and he had all of this honor, and I don't want to dwell too much on him because we've all studied this. We've all heard this. But as it applies to this little girl, he had all of these things. Yet he had a major problem. Based upon his experience in warfare, he had the ability to go out and wage war and come out victorious. And that was the reason why he was where he was at. But he found himself in a situation that he could not, of his own will or his own desire, come out of it victorious. You see, I liken this story to many of the stories we find in the Bible where God is dealing with someone on a particular subject or on a particular matter in their life, and he has someone else that's one of his people, one of his children, ready to go and help that person. I believe that this story fits the mold of that. Now, this girl did not go to the land of Syria under her own will or under her own power. It was by force, and as I said, she no doubt had to question, why am I here? What sorrow and what shame and what fear this girl must have lived in. Yet she never lost sight of her God. And I believe, if not before, when she discovered that Naaman was a leper, at some point in there, I believe that she came to understand that God had a purpose for her there. With the sum of all these things that were stacked up against her in light of the situation Naaman found himself, The little maid spoke concise but confident words from a burdened heart for the benefit of her master. The young girl knew who she was, the abilities of her God, what she needed to say, and she was not afraid to say it. It takes faith for that. Now, some of these things that I have put in this paragraph, you cannot look in that any of those verses of Scripture and say, yes, she was this and yes, she was that. But based upon the sum of the situation, all of the things that were going on, the position that she found herself in, and what she was able to utter from her mouth demonstrated nothing but pure faith. When we think about, I listed here that she spoke confident words from a burdened heart. She didn't walk around the subject. She didn't lead into talking to Naaman about his leprosy and a cure for it. But she flat out stated that there was a prophet in Israel that could help him. And we see even in the translation in the King James Version that there's an exclamation point there. I believe she said it in such a way that it had power with it. I put that she had a burdened heart for her master. There's a whole lesson in and of itself in that. We see a woman whose people are an enemy to her master, and yet she has a concern for him. How many times have we, and I'll say myself, been in a situation where there were people that we did not like so well? Maybe we didn't like something about their character. Maybe we didn't like the things that they done. And we lacked any pity and we lacked any heart for that person. You see, that's the human nature for us to do. From a natural standpoint, that's what all of us do. We shun those that are in opposition to us. We shun those that are contrary to us. And we tend to have pity and mercy upon those that demonstrate love to us and have love for us. Or maybe we even go as far as we try to bargain with people. If we have something that someone wants, well, maybe they have something we want. You see, this girl, you have to believe, wanted to go back to her home. And as I thought about this, I thought, this woman had a good proposition to barter Naaman. She was in a good position to say, you know, I know a way that you can be healed if you'll let me go. But faith is apart from selfishness. There is nothing that can be done purely out of faith in God and in trust of God that has our own personal need or our own personal gains as any part of the motive. It cannot be. If a person stands up to testify and they have any inkling in them of I'm doing this for me, it's not a faithful testimony. But I believe that she truly had a concern for the man. Where did that come from? As I said, from a natural standpoint, it's not in us. It's not in any of us to be concerned about our enemies. But it's very much an attribute of God. And it's what God imparts to us that allows that attribute to come out. And that's exactly what happened with this young girl. This is what she said. Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. The Revised Standard Version states it a little different, and I like the way it started it. Would that my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy. This is a testimony. And if we're going to deal with the faith of this little girl, this is what her faith is. I'm sure in her lifetime she done many faithful things for God. But as far as we know, As far as the scriptures and then the written record gives us, this is all we have. This testimony. And it was a faithful testimony. Within our judicial system, a testimony is defined as a statement given as evidence in court. Likewise, our spiritual testimony is a statement of evidence in relation to the things that God has done for us or information God desires, demands for us to communicate to others. A spiritual testimony is, in short, a manifestation of inward faith. The strong faith of the little maid is discovered in her brief statement. I put Hebrews 11:1, and I'm probably, since this winter Bible study is based upon faith, I'm going to be covering a verse that a lot of you that are here that will be teaching the lessons are going to cover. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Whenever we start talking about faith, this is the verse of Scripture that always comes to our mind. When it's applied to the actions of this little girl, it very much shows a strong faith in her. She had a substance in her. She had evidence in her that God was able to do what He tells her that He's going to do. And we'll talk about this a little bit more later, but this woman could not have possibly known out of the carnal mind that God would heal this man of his leprosy. But she spoke it plainly as though it would happen. Now, some would call that prophecy. I'm not proclaiming that this woman was a prophet, as we tend to look at prophets. However, when God reveals something to any of His children, and it comes to be, in a sense, it is prophecy. But it's not of her, but of God. She could not have possibly known what would take place. Now, as I said, in order to get the full picture of this woman or this young girl and how this testimony was so faithful, because I don't want any of us to leave tonight with the impression that this woman's faithful just because she gave a testimony. We have got to get a grip on the circumstances. What are the consequences for this young girl if Naaman goes to Israel and nothing happens? What if Naaman comes back and he's still a leper? What does that pose for her? Did she consider this? I'm sure she did. How many times have you and I, when God has said, you need to do this, or you need to say that, we say, well, what if? What if this doesn't happen? What if this doesn't work? But I believe that the same God that was dealing with her is the same God that deals with us. And He overcomes those things. He overcomes those fears that we have. He overcomes those inabilities that we feel like we have within ourselves. And He says, you can. I go back to that seventh verse of the first chapter of Jeremiah. Say not that you're a child. I can just picture God speaking to this girl in such a manner. Don't you believe that this young girl would have said, if not openly in prayer to God, if not just in her heart, God, who am I to say this to this man? I'm just a little girl. I'm in a precarious situation here. What if it doesn't happen? What if he comes back and he's still a leper? He may kill me. He may beat me. Who knows what will take place? But I can just picture God saying to this woman, say not that you're a child. Go where I send you. Say what I want you to say. And I'm going to tell you what. There's strength in that, isn't it? When after we have had our fears and we've had our struggles, then God comes on the scene and speaks to our hearts, easing our minds, reassuring us that He is the one that's controlling the situation. We find that when she spoke of these things, she was speaking from a heart that knew God. When we think about faith and we think about it being evidence of things not seen, when we think about our own salvation, that's exactly an ideal picture of a faith. We all know that faith is not of ourselves. The Bible tells us it's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. And so not only is the believing faith a gift from God, but what we have in our hearts as a witness for God from day to day is also a faith. God never leaves us to determine what we need to do and what we don't need to do. And He requires of us that we be faithful to the things, to the evidence, to the revelation that He gives to us in our hearts about things that we need to say and things that we need to do. We find that Paul in 1 Corinthians in the second chapter in the fourth verse, when he was talking to the people about his preaching, how that it was not with enticing words, but he said that it was in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. If something is a faith that comes from the heart, and it's a believing in God that He is able to do the things that is coming out of our mouth, it has to be mixed with the Spirit of God. We require a testimony before someone unites with our church, because we believe wholeheartedly that when someone unites with the church, within their testimony, we can feel what they have within them. Jesus responded to the questioning by Nicodemus regarding the spiritual birth by saying, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness." This girl truly was testifying to what she knew and to what she had seen. This faith was not a faith of the world. It was not a hope. But it was purely a revealing of the things that God had allowed her to see. I don't believe that in her heart she had any doubt that God was going to heal this man. And I believe before the situation ever arose that she believed God could. I took some verses out of the 10th chapter of Matthew when Jesus sent the apostles out and was giving them warnings in the 18th verse. He said, "Ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you." Now, a lot of people have taken those verses of Scripture and done a lot of things with them. There's no doubt a lot of men that get behind the book board believing these scriptures above all things, to the extent of not studying and believing that the Spirit of God is just going to preach them, and we all know that. But I don't believe that's what he's talking about here. And I believe it's very much it very much applies to the situation that this young girl was in. You see, those words that she spoke were God. They were of God. They were things that were given to her by the Spirit of God to speak. Now, let's look at some of the evidence that's found in what took place that establishes her faith and that it was a spiritual testimony of faith. I put here first the positive response of a highly decorated man to the testimony of a young servant girl concerning the abilities of her God. The response of Naaman was expensive both monetarily and physically and was in conflict with his social and religious beliefs. Verse 1, as we've related, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper." So we see he was a mighty man of valor. He was great with his master or with his king. He was honored. And then we see here in verse 4, and one went in and told his lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. So we see here that this little girl, let's go back here and get the picture. She's a servant in Naaman's house, a Hebrew child, and she speaks these words. Now, the first thing that we might think is that, well, Naaman was at the end of the rope. Maybe Naaman was just taking a wild venture at this. He had done everything that he possibly could do. He tried everything that he possibly could do to get rid of this leprosy. And just maybe, what this little girl has to say is true. But I believe it's more than that. I go back to the whole position of why the girl's there. I believe that God has a time and place for everything. And I believe that this girl was there for the purpose of this man Naaman. And I believe that when she spoke this brief statement to him, I believe the Spirit of God was present in that. And I believe it affected that man. Now, I don't propose that he wholeheartedly believed what she said. We know as we read earlier, what took place is he doubted the prophet when he told him what to do. But let's consider what he did. It says that he departed, took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. There was a lot of expense involved in this. There was a lot that went into this trip. And now let's think about the mental state of this man. How many of you as parents, when you're doing something and your kids show you something where you're wrong, you know, it's sort of a, you don't want to admit it because you're bigger than they are. You're their parent. And no doubt this man, Naaman, with this young girl, this little slave girl, this little servant, as she spoke these words, from a carnal mental standpoint, had to think, I'm not listening to this little girl. There was something more to it. You see, God brings down strongholds with the small things. And I believe that this man Naaman sensed something in her and in what she said that made him feel like she's right. The second point, the young maid lacked any, or at best limited, familiarity with the prophet Elisha, and the lack of any proof that Elisha could heal one taken with leprosy, yet the maid confidently spoke as though it would happen. We covered a little bit of that earlier. But have you ever considered that up until this point, Elisha had never, based on the scriptures, healed anyone of leprosy? Not one. And we do not have a timetable to tell us how long this young girl was there. We don't know if she was taken captive as a baby or whether she had just recently been taken captive. But at best, her familiarity with Elisha had to be limited. Yet, she was able to speak words about this man Elisha, saying, he can heal you and he will heal you. That's God. That's faith. And that's a statement of faith and a testimony of faith. How do we prove it? The outcome. Verse 14 and 15. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. What she had to say was true. And it's revealed to us that it's true. This young girl, she did not save Naaman, but she was instrumental in his healing, and I believe in his salvation as well. Now we as God's people, I've grew up around people that said that the lay member of a church, as we go out, we cannot have a great impact on lost people. They have to hear preaching in order to be saved. I don't believe that. You might disagree with me. Some of you may, and that's okay. But I believe God can use any one of His children to reach a lost person. And what it takes is a faithful witness, a faithful testimony on our part, overcoming whatever the obstacles might be, and that's what she done. This girl came onto the scene in two verses, and she left just as quick as she came on. We don't know very much about her, but the Bible's filled with those people. And you know, that's the kind of testimony needs to be left of us. In conclusion, in the book of James in chapter 2, verse 20, the question is proposed, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" The brief but powerful testimony of a young Jewish girl to a mighty Syrian leader whose way of life was in opposition to that of the young girl and her statement was a work of faith that forever changed his circumstances and life. Her faithful actions in the midst of adversity serve as an example to all Christians, and young Christians in particular, whose lives are often filled with adversity. But in adversity, we must be found faithful by doing whatever the Lord might require of us. Amen. Our kids today face adversity in schools. They face people that believe different things. This man, Naaman, believed something totally different than her. He didn't believe in God. He believed in gods. He believed in idol gods. Yet this woman or this girl spoke confidently about her God. How many of us are faithful to do that? How many of us are so faithful to speak of our God in the face of adverse conditions surrounding our own lives and also to people that are in total and utter opposition to our stance? I said that our people face adversity. We know that the Bible says that the devil is an adversary. He is our adversary. But oftentimes God places us in situations where the devil is. Because you see, we always talk about how when a person is saved, that at that point the devil has lost their soul, but he begins to work on them to prevent them from testifying and prevent them from working for the Lord. Why? Because he understands the power of God in his people. He understands what faithful testimonies demonstrated can accomplish. Now, the devil may not be in a situation that you're in initially. He may not have been in the situation that this young girl was initially. But when he realizes that there is some cause to be concerned, the devil's going to come. And he is the adversary, and he was her adversary, just as he is our adversary today. But faith overcomes that adversary. Real faith. I didn't discuss a whole lot about faith because I know there's going to be so many good lessons about the ins and outs of faith. I hoped today to just impart some knowledge of this girl. And if not just her, but all of those, I've been sort of had people joking with me about the little maid, all of the little maids that are in the Bible. There's a lot of them. I looked at this topic and I said, I've got this little maid. People at church said, how's that little maid coming along? Not a whole lot there. But when you start thinking about God and how he works with us, how he worked with them then, how he still works with us now, the situations that people faced then, the situations we face now, we can read into the life of this girl. And I believe that she truly was a girl or woman of faith. This is our message.